If I'm attacked, I will attack.
She just wants to be a part of your world.
If you're gonna be a bully, I'm gonna outdo you. Times where you experience racism or you experience that you don't belong.
Comes up to me and he says, "Daddy, are you okay? I have a problem and it's just me. I'm a bad dad because of that."
She's giving them a controlled space to let go of rage. My biggest concern right now is like, I'm building that memory portfolio with my kids.
Guys, welcome to another episode of the Damn Good Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Bailey, but that's not important because today who we have here in the studio is more important. We've got my boy Drew here. Drew is a father. He's an entrepreneur. He's a hardworking person. He's a new friend of mine that I'm really excited to have here today so we can chop it up a little bit about fatherhood, sharing our wins, our losses, and hopefully just bridge the gap on some conversations that you may be wanting to have and either don't have someone to have it with or don't feel comfortable having it. So we want to help navigate the waters of being a good dad as we do the same as well. So welcome, Drew.
Hey, man. Glad to be here.
Good,
thank
man.
You again for having me, bro.
Of course, man. Of course, bro. So I always like to start off by giving you an opportunity to introduce yourself.
Yeah.
Who are you? What are you about? How many kids do you have? Are you married? How long have you been married? How many kids? How old? Like that whole thing. So go for it, man.
Yeah. My name's Drew. I think a big part of me is I was born in Busan, South Korea. I was adopted at a young age to an awesome family. That's a big part of me, my adoption story. Lived in the States basically my whole life. I've been married for almost 10 years in February coming
nice,
up here.
Nice, man. Congrats.
That's a big deal. Oh, no. Sorry. January 5th, we've been married for 10 years. Sorry, I was celebrating
We'll cut that out. The video. Yeah. I don't want her to see that, bro.
Keep it in. My wife destroyed me on that.
Sheesh.
But my wife's name is Alisar. Married for 10 years.
Nice.
Have three kids. I got two girls, one boy. The oldest, her name's Ada. She's 6. My middle is a boy. His name is Kaiden. He's 5.
Ooh,
and the
nice.
Little baby is Zara. She's a girl. And she is just turned 3. So
nice,
the house
nice.
Is full. The kids are great, man. And I guess what I do is filmmaking, you know. But I am a proud dad, a proud husband, proud Yinzer from Pittsburgh.
Hey, okay.
But glad to be down in South Florida, man. So here
good,
I am.
Man. How long you been down here now?
Been down here in South Florida for... Man, I think it's been 18 years.
18 years.
Yeah, right. I think this past year, I remember talking to my wife and it was like, oh, this is like the split year that I've been down in South Florida as long as I was up in Pittsburgh. And that was like a weird feeling because you know what I mean? It's like, oh, like now.
It just got real.
Yeah, I'm like, yo, it's going to be more years down in South Florida than it was in the Berg. So.
Okay. So how are you liking down here? Do you guys see yourself staying
longer? We love
it.
Yeah, I think just because... You see all the cultures in my kids' class. They have, you know, people from India, you know what I mean? From the islands. They got other kids that are Asian. I mean, that's a big deal to us. You know what I mean? That they get to experience that I didn't get to have that experience up north. So we value that a ton. We definitely value like multicultural stuff. So this is home, man. We're here. We're locked in.
So up north in Philly, or Pittsburgh, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You were predominantly... I'm assuming the only one like from Asian descent type of thing or what was that like?
I would say like 80%. I would say even it could be like 90% was good. You know what I mean? Like I had great friends. I played a lot of sports growing up. But then some of those 10% times where you experience racism or you experience that you don't belong or people make you feel like you don't belong. Whether it's on the school bus when you're a kid or you're playing t-ball. Like, I remember some of those memories where you're kind of getting made fun of. Even though 90% was amazing, those 10% can stick out pretty strong. But I would say for the most part, it was amazing. But I think 10%, you feel like, do I belong here? Do I fit in here? Like, I don't, you know, everyone doesn't look like me. And I don't think till we moved down here did I realize what a beautiful thing it is to have multicultural like experience come together and how beautiful that is.
Yeah.
You know? So I think we just appreciate it. I think my childhood was amazing, but I think there's just something even more special down here for me and my family at the moment.
Look, man, I'm not mad about that. it's definitely a melting pot down here.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, I've been in situations in schools where I was like the only like black guy there or person in general.
Yeah.
And I've been in situations where there was like, I was a part of the majority.
Yeah.
And both had their pros and cons, if I'm being honest. But I agree, like, I prefer to be in a place where it's diverse.
Absolutely.
I want people who look like me and have, or like-minded as me as well, but I also want opposing views. I want people to be able to challenge what I believe and think, to help me to think outside the box or show me something that I'm not accustomed to.
Yes.
I'm always down for growth. So whatever that looks like in terms of, like, diversity or whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's hear it. Let's, like, bring it on, man.
I'm all about that.
So, like, so now that you've experienced that in Pittsburgh, you've experienced that here, you know, what you've experienced here in South Florida, how has that shaped kind of like the person you've become? Like, your experiences that you've shared with, I mean, I don't know if you were bullied or not, but, like, being teased about whatever, you know, culturally, like, how has that shaped your outlook on, you know, parenting? Like, how does that shape what you teach your kids?
Man, I feel like a little bit of me, like, unhealthily, like, if I got pinned up against a wall, whether it was like racism or bully, and again, I'm not saying this is the way to do it. I'm just being real with you.
No, that's all I want, man.
If I'm attacked, I will attack. And so if you're going to be a bully, I'm going to outdo you. You know what I mean? Which I think is completely, like I'm saying, that's high school Drew. You know what I mean? Middle school Drew. And I would say, like, looking back, I wish I had some second chances. You know what I mean? On some people I'd experienced with, how I held my temper. You know what I mean? Some conversations I had. But I think how it helps me raise the kid is to empathize. If someone looks different than you, I don't think it's anything to be afraid of. I think it's something to celebrate. I think it's something that you can ask questions about, be curious about. I think being curious in an amazing, healthy, positive way is probably the best thing that you could teach your kid to do. You know what I mean? Like, if one of their kids brings in a different type of lunch that, you know, is not like the hamburger, it's from their culture. It's like, what is that? Like, be curious. Don't make fun of it. I've been making this thing called kimbap at home. It's like this Korean, it's like a Korean, like, convenience store snack. Okay. What it is, it's like, it could be spicy tuna or like kimchi or like bulgogi, like the beef, in a triangle shape with rice and seaweed, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I want to make that for my daughter. She take it to school. Like, dude, that stuff smells like crazy. You know what I mean? So
it smells bad?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like kimchi smells crazy. It's like fermented cabbage. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
say less.
It has a presence. So, and again, I'm not, it just doesn't equate to food, but man, if someone's different or bringing something from their culture, don't make fun. Don't be the first to attack. Just be curious. Like, hey, what is that? Can I try it?
Yeah.
Or why do you like it so much? So I think just to spark curiosity is where I come from and what I want to teach my kids to do and to ask other kids that are maybe a little different.
So talk to me, you don't have to go in depth, but in terms of, like, your wife, like, what's her cultural background?
Yeah, my wife, her cultural background is, she's Lebanese.
Okay.
So our kids are like Korean Lebanese, which is a crazy.
Crazy mix. I've never heard of that before.
It's kind of dope.
Yeah.
And her family's actually overseas doing some cool work over there with some nonprofit organizations. So they just moved back. Her dad's full on from, like, Jordan.
Nice.
Mom's Lebanese and stuff. So that's something that's celebrated. There's a lot of Lebanese food that goes on in the house and stuff.
Your house must be fire for dinner time.
We're going to have, like, bro, we're going to have you over, man. We've talked about this, getting the kids together and stuff.
Say less, man. You said kimchi, and I'm like, I've heard good things about it, so.
Yeah. But I think it's just been cool because we just spent time with her family, flew over for Christmas, and just to be able to, you know, them sharing what goes on over there, talking a little bit about it. It's so cool. I hope I answered the question. Did I answer the question?
Nah, bro, okay. We're just having a conversation. You answered or not, we're good.
But her family background's Lebanese. So, man, there's some Lebanese food, some breakfast food that goes on, and it's fire, bro.
Bro, I know your house is the place to be during Thanksgiving, Christmas. I know you guys are always killing it with the food stuff, man.
Come on, man.
Yeah, man. That's awesome, bro. I know, like, raising kids, obviously, it comes with its own sets of challenges.
For sure.
But, you know, one of the things that concerns me about raising kids now is kind of what you touched on about bullying. Man, like, my heart breaks, dude. Like, every single time that I hear some news report about some kid committing, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that, but when a kid, you know, whatever, and some of the stuff that they go through, the cyberbullying and, you know, whatever, I'm like, I'm at a loss. One, because, you know, here's another young, innocent life that was affected, whether they're still here or not, they were affected by, you know, whatever happened at school. And, you know, as a parent, you can't be there 24/7 and watch over them, right? Mm-hmm. Your hope and desire is that I raised you right to, one, love yourself, and then, two, to respect others. That's your hope and prayer when you send them out there into the world, when you're not there. So it's just like, it's tough, man, because, like, as a parent, it's out of your hand. It's out of your control at that point. Like, you're hoping that the teachings that you imparted on them will last and extend beyond the four walls of your home.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man. Like, every time I hear some story, bro, I just, like, my heart breaks. I think about the parents, bro. And not to get too deep too quickly, man. But I thought about
there, bro.
I thought about what happened at Stoneman Douglas, right? Mm-hmm. And there was a report I read about one guy who kept calling his daughter's phone and expecting her to pick up and like, hey, like, what's going on? What's going on? Why am I not hearing from you? I heard this crazy thing is happening at school. Like, I need you to pick up.
Yeah.
And bro, I'm getting emotional just talking about it now. And I can't imagine what that feels like as a parent, right?
Oh my gosh.
So when you hear these cases about kids being bullied at school, it's like, how do we combat that at home? In the terms of like, especially, I mean, on either side, if your kid is the one doing the bullying, how do you combat that? Where is that from? Is that learned behavior from home? And and I hate to say this because everyone always blames the parents, but it's not always on the parents. Mm-hmm. There is only so much you can do as a parent. And if you're doing everything you need to be doing as a parent, at the end of the day, this is still a human being who has the right to make their own choices.
Yeah.
So knowing that, right, what is your take? How do you help your, how do you prepare your kids to go out there into the world that we live in? Like, what does that look like for you guys?
Yeah, I think about this a lot. When we had coffee and we were chilling and talking about our kids, I was telling you how my boy, the middle, Kai, he's like more to the sensitive side. Like, I think he'd be more towards the artist, creative, you know, type side. Again, I'm not trying to put him in a box. I mean, he's five. Who knows what his
figure it out.
End thing will be, but he definitely has this beautiful sensitivity, very in tune with his emotions that I wish I had. I think it's like kind of healthy, but I have thought, I'm like, man, are you going to get pushed around in high school? But we can talk more about where I'm thinking about that later. But to talk about worry about getting bullied or him bullying, I think it's exactly what you said. You said a word, confidence. There's a book I'm reading about raising, being a father and raising boys. I actually bought you a copy today because I was thinking about the podcast. Oh, so it'll be here in 2 days. I'll hook you up with it.
I appreciate that, man.
It's by John Tyson. And there's a quote in that book, and it talks about it's better to build the child now than it is to fix them later.
Yeah.
And again, not that it's hopeless later. Like, let's not twist the quote. You know what I'm saying? But he's saying build now is to invest, to instill. I'm taking to instill the confidence because I feel like, I don't know if you remember high school, middle school, even elementary, you're just trying to find yourself. There's so many insecurities and things you just don't know about who you are. I just don't think you know how to deal with them, cope with them, and how, like, what's the outlet, you know?
Yeah.
So if you're feeling those things, what do? Do you pick on someone because they're different or because you feel like you can dominate them and it makes you feel powerful? So I think this confidence of, like, instilling of, like, hey, this is who you are, Kaiden. Like, you have this beautiful sensitivity and emotional side to you. Now, I think there is being a confidence in that. You know what I mean? I'm not telling you to be a doormat, you know? But what does that look? It's embracing self as being proud of who you are. And then seeing, like, what steps can I instill in you to keep growing you in the confidence of, like, yo, I'm proud of who I am.
Yeah.
Because I think when you're more proud of who you are, I think you see other people. And I think there's empathy that grows from that in the sense of, like, yo, like, I don't have to make myself feel better by picking on you or trying to make you feel low to make me feel
better,
bigger, you know?
Yeah.
And I know at 5 years old, how does that even make sense? These kids don't even know how to put Legos together at times, but no, I think it like that quote, it's like building them now is a better version of, is going to create a better version of them than if you don't do it
later on.
Have to fix them later on. Like,
that's tough, man. Like, I think you hit the nail on the head for sure. It definitely starts at home. That confidence thing, like, I think I've heard stories, bro, and I have a friend specifically I'm thinking about who their parents didn't do a good job of boosting their confidence. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say, you know, oversell it and say, hey, look, you're the queen of the world and none of that stuff.
For
it's on some like, hey, look. And I don't know about you, and I bro, if I know enough about you to know that you are definitely that guy that's going to instill confidence in your kids and reassure them and encourage them. I know, like, for me, one of the practices I do with my kids right before I drop them off at school in the morning, we pray. And at the end of prayer, I go right into the affirmations.
That's sick.
And I know there's a whole thing about people and affirmations. Depending on what side you're on, there's people who are like, oh, that's crap. It doesn't really work. There's people who are like, yo, you know, I thank the moon and the stars and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm like, look, let's not get it twisted. For us in our household, we're keeping it very biblical based.
For sure.
But so it always sounds like, hey, I'm confident. I'm mm-hmm. strong. I'm intelligent. I am all these, whatever the list goes on, right? I'm all these things because God created me this way. Not because of anything I did, not because of anything anyone else did, not because mommy and daddy loved me with all their heart. None of that stuff changes what is true about me and who I am. And like my youngest is two. He's about to be three this year. And it's funny to me when he starts to repeat after, because I have them repeat after me. So they are saying it and getting confident in it. And it's funny when he says it, because it's like he's two and he's catching on.
That's so cool.
When he sits down at dinner table and he starts praying on his own,
yeah,
he's catching on. And it literally shows the establishing of relationship, for one, and establishing of good habits. A lot of the things that he does now, such as the praying, obviously we do that as a family, or even if it's just the kid, whatever, sometimes he'll get to the dinner table before us and start praying.
Yep.
But it's my oldest who's showing him a lot of this stuff. And where does he get that from? That's been like the last 3-4 years of us really honing in on him and saying, hey, look, this is how we maneuver. And bigger than that, I think, is literally just showing them this is how we operate as human beings.
Absolutely.
We talk about it, sure. But when daddy's words don't line up with his actions, that's a different conversation. That could be confusing for a 5-year-old.
Oh, for sure.
So like all that to say, like, what do you do at home to reassure your kids, man, to show them like, hey, look, it's okay to be who you are, even if it's different. And I just need you to be confident in that.
Man, that's a good question. This is going to be kind of random. Like, we just got a Switch at home.
All right, cool.
And, like, my oldest, Ada, she's very coordinated. Like, I think if she wants to, she'll be good at sports. Like, she's just that person. Like, she's going to pick something up. And I think she has, like, the achiever, like, mindset mentality, that she's going to, like, if she puts her mind to it, she's going to be, I think she'll excel at something. Kai, on the other hand, it takes a little bit for her to catch up.
Yeah.
This is going to sound so silly that I'm talking about a Mario, you know, like kind of, I'm sorry, I just drew a blank, like a Mario example of this, but they're playing like Mario Kart. Like, who don't love Mario Kart? It's like the dopest game, but he's just getting destroyed by Ada every time.
Yeah.
But I heard him like self-deprecating himself, like, oh, I can't do this. I can't win. And it's happening like day after day. Now, I think like what we didn't do and how I didn't position myself was like, Ada, let him win. No, I literally told, because Ada was feeling bad then. Like, she does have a little empathy where she's like, oh, I'll let up a little bit. I'm like, don't you, like, I don't want her to like feel bad. I'm like, you crush your brother until he can like do this, you know? But I think my thing was like, Kai, like, you can't give up, because he just want to put the controller down.
Yeah.
So I think what I went to him was like, man, like, what I need you to do is like, you can't give up on yourself. You got to keep trying. Like, what do you think is not going well? So really, it's just sitting down with them, getting at their level. And as silly as Mario Kart is, that's just a life lesson that's going to like continue of like, man, if you feel like you can't equate to something, you're not reaching where you want to be. I know you want to win.
Yeah.
It's like, what can we do? And I know, again, silly that it's Mario Kart.
Dude, but don't downplay that, man.
But Buddy's winning now. Like, he's beating his sister. It's like 50-50.
Right.
He put his mind to it. He didn't get over emotional about it. Now, I keep using Kai, but it's like, bro, like, it was just cool to see, like, get down on his level, talk about it. Just like, hey, it's okay to feel like that. That's real. It stinks to lose. But, like, what are you going to do? Like, how can we work towards you just not keeping the car straight? Can you try to keep the car straight with your left thumb? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something as silly as that. But it's been cool to see, like, he's gained confidence of, like, okay, like, this is what I can work on. I'm not bad at the game. I'm not never going to win, but it's going to take some things to do.
Yeah.
So
I don't think that's silly, man. Like, I think your example of Mario is pretty spot on. Mario Kart specific is pretty spot on. Because I think about, like, I only know my experiences, right?
Right.
So I think about my experiences in businesses, in business, and the times that I've lost, so to speak, and I felt like Kai, and I'm like, yo, I'm kind of done with this.
Yo.
Like, I'm not cut out for this. I'm not made to be whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it translates to exactly the same, where I had to get a pep talk, whether from my wife or my boys or whatever,
come on,
to say, hey, look, you're not always going to win, but how do we, like, what steps need to be taken in order to prevent the same outcome next time?
Yeah.
So I think for you, it might be business, entrepreneurship, sure. For Kai, it's the equivalent, though.
Yo,
Mario Kart
true.
Is the equivalent for him. At that age,
that's good.
Mario Kart is literally the equivalent for him of saying, like, okay, man, I lost out in life because I didn't execute whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think you instilling that in him at such a young age of like not giving up, it extends way beyond Mario Kart,
That's
bro.
Good.
I think you're on par. You're on the right track with that for sure, man. Like that hit home for me because like
that's cool.
If I'm being transparent with you, I'm not that guy who's like super resilient. Mm. Like I get knocked off out of path very easily. Whether it's like this gym thing or like business or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
As soon as like I take a L, mm-hmm. it's harder for me to recover from those than the mm-hmm. average person, I think. And it's something I'm actively working on. Mm-hmm. But I also didn't have that level of confidence instilled in me growing up or showing me, hey, look, this is how you navigate through losses.
Right.
It's not a loss. It's a temporary setback. Boom. Unless you choose so for it to be a permanent like loss.
Growing opportunity.
Yeah, man. So absolutely. I didn't get that, bro. So like, I mean, I'm hearing you saying that it's like a simple thing. And I'm like, no, man, that's huge.
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
For a five-year-old to understand that and you instill that in him, I think you're winning, bro.
It's been so cool. Like, it's goofy, but man, I see him beat. It's just, you know, I just like get stoked on both their dubs on Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Just to see him winning now, I'm like, bro, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And like, you got to set him down and be like, yo, you just 2 weeks ago were like throwing fits, literally crying.
Yep.
And like,
him.
Look, bro, like your sister's now getting upset that you're beating her and it's like 50-50. Mm-hmm. That's so sick. You know?
And it's dope that I think that you reinforce it by reminding him where Absolutely. He's coming from. So it's like, hey, look, you said that this was impossible. Mm-hmm. And it's funny. It's weird because they're 5 and 6 they and whatnot. Are. So it's hard. It's weird to have this conversation. But same thing with my son, because he's going through that same phase mm-hmm. of, hey, I can't do something. He gets frustrated and throws the controller down or whatever. It's like, I get it. But I have the conversation and I have to explain to him, dude, you're not going to win at everything you do. Mm-hmm. And make it worse. He's just like dad in the sense of this high expectation about the first time he does something. It's going to look a certain way. It's going to be a certain way. And when it's not, it's like the end of the world for him. So I'm in that stage now of having to show him and teach him like, hey, look, same thing. It's possible. It's going to take some, retweaking or whatever the case may be, but we can figure this out.
That's cool.
Then when he does the thing, I intentionally go back and say, see? And like, remember when you were?
Yeah.
And you remember how, remember when I told you that it was possible, but... And now you actually did the thing.
Yes.
And I think it's slowly starting to build his confidence to your point of like, hey, look, maybe it's not as difficult or impossible when I apply it and give myself some time and grace to grow into it.
I love that. I think setting like those like monuments or those like milestones for him, even if it's in the Mario Kart, whatever, it could be sports, it could be them academics, whether they're in kindergarten or preschool. But just to look back, like you're saying, and reinforce, bro, I think that gives a level of boost of like, okay, next time this happens, I think at least I can give it a go, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not going to crumble. That's really tight.
It's really, in my mind, it's literally just giving them the pieces of the formula to figure it out.
Absolutely.
Because I don't know how, I'm trying to come up with a cool analogy, but it's not really working. But like, the formula doesn't change. Like, the problems they may be different each time, but mm-hmm. the formula that you use to solve the problem is the same every time. Mm-hmm. So giving them that foundation, they'll figure out whatever comes their way, even if it may take a little longer than usual, but they have the formula and the keys to figure it out. And that's most important, so.
That's spot on.
Yeah, man. Dude, so like, I really wanna hone in on a little bit more about this diversity thing, because I really that kind of like struck a bell for me, man. Mm-hmm. Do you find that you and your wife have differences in viewpoints of how we raise our kids, how we discipline our kids? Obviously you guys are from the same spiritual background, or at least are in the same spiritual place now. I don't know where the backgrounds are, but at least you guys are on the same page about that. Do you guys have differences on how you raise them? How, like, I could think of how my parents had arguments about certain things with my brother and I because of how my dad grew up versus how my mom grew up. And how that played a role into what their expectation was for raising kids. Like, how does that play with you coming from such a strong cultural background? And the same thing with your wife as well.
Man, that's a great point. I think, and a great question. I do think the spiritual background is huge for us.
Yeah.
That I do think the majority, we definitely are on the same page of how we want to navigate some things. I think it comes where we could differ would be in possibly like punishments or how we react when our kids are reacting.
Yeah.
I was just telling my homie this at lunch because I was encouraging him and we were just talking about our boys today. When our kids are throwing fits, I think where we would differ, like I would just go right to punishment and be like, yo, those guys, they're wilding out. You know what I mean?
They need
to settle down. What I've learned from my wife, and I think has been something cool of like, she's giving them a controlled space to let go of that rage, you know what I mean? Or that frustration. So what I mean about that is What we're not doing is we're not going to like throw your toys, punch a wall, or like kick your feet on the ground. I don't think my kids punch a wall, but you know what I'm saying? Throw an absolute like out of control fit. What she's doing is like, if you are angry, you can go to your room. And to my oldest, she'll say, just scream in the pillow. So you have a targeted place that you can have some controlled chaos, but let out whatever's inside of you.
Yeah.
Which I've learned from. Like, that's been different. And I'm not sure if I agreed with it. I'm like, why you let them continue? Or my son, it's been like, just punch the pillow. Now, we're not trying to tell them to be violent or to like scream their heads off at people, but to give them a space where they cannot suppress that and like just get it out in something that's not going to be hurt, that doesn't have feelings, that's not their brother or sister. I think it's like paid off because when you see them kind of get that out of them, I'm like, wow. Like, so even how we handle like how they get mad or how they're like throwing fits, that was pretty different. And I think I've learned from, I don't even think I've told my wife this, by the way. So I think that's been pretty cool. And that's like challenged my perspective on it. Cause I would be like, all right, you're getting a pow pow
or quick, yeah. Like right now.
Yeah, and I would be getting mad too. I'm like, this ain't happening. You know what I mean? Like I'm the man of this house. This is how we're doing it. And again, it's not being a doormat. It's not any of that. It's just, I think some of us have we as kids been told to suppress some of that and not been able to get it out in a healthy manner. Cause I think that is healthy. Like seeing it, cause you see when they come back of like, that felt good to get out. I'm ready to talk or I'm ready to move on. Like it's proof is in the pudding, at least with my kids, that's our context. It's been working.
Okay.
And I know that's one isolated incident, but I think that's been a big thing. I think we share a lot of the same things on how we want to raise them, what we think about sexuality wise, you know what I mean? How we believe going to church, you know what I mean? Like we want to be consistent in that. I'm not trying to be general, but I think there's just so many things we have shared just because we had a good upbringing. But I think the one thing different wise, at least from, our parents, her dad, man, he did a lot of, he's a go-getter, man. And I say this in a positive light. He always was, first to fix it, all that kind of stuff. I think as a husband, I'm not built like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think, maybe that doesn't have to do with parenting, but I think as a husband, I think that's been something of like, okay, like I want my kids to be able to like problem solve. I got to teach them how to do this. I want to be aware because I know that's something she values. You know what I mean? Because her dad is very good at problem solving. That's something in mind of like, man, I've been in the more the creative side. I don't know how to fix a spigot. I'm not saying you have to do that. That qualifies you, but how can I help like make them think through some situations and not just be like, I'm not doing this. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So that's one thing I think that she values and I want to like value that as well. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's
perfect sense.
Like, cause that's important to her. I want that to be important to the kids as well.
Good, man. I think that you're definitely hitting the point of just having, let's be honest. We're not always going to agree
for sure
with our significant other or whoever we're raising kids with. We're not always going to agree with that. Right. And that's where a lot of adversity comes in. Mm-hmm. Like I've experienced it firsthand, like both my parents having different religious beliefs and the wedge that drove in their relationship. And it kind of trickled down to us as kids as well, because it was like, I mean, I hate to say this, but as a kid, I'm like, I don't want to go to church twice, once on Saturday, once on Sunday. Like I was hot. I was mad about that, man. You know what I mean? But I saw what that did to their relationship and just not being on the same page about things, certain things. And I bringing up their kids. So look, it's going to look different for everybody's household. And I think that you and your wife definitely have at least the right foundation
to
be able to navigate whatever should pop up.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that whole thing about the pillow and the screaming.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm beside myself thinking about that because I'm like, wait, my mom would never let me. You know what I mean? Like,
dude, same, bro.
So, and I mean, my assumption, right? The very little that I know about Korean culture, and I don't know if this is like offensive to say or not, bro, but I did watch Kim's Convenience. And
bro, that's pretty good though.
I thought that. Like I was watching the show and obviously I don't know much about Korean culture like that, but I'm looking at the show and I'm like, man, a lot of this dialogue seems very real. Like this doesn't feel like it's staged or scripted.
Yeah.
Like a lot, and even his mannerisms, like all that stuff felt very authentic to me in terms of like what I've always experienced in other people's culture, and especially Korean culture specifically.
Yeah.
But like, I think about like my mom growing up, and my mom was a disciplinarian in my house. My dad was very off, like hands off, very chill, like, hey, what did your mom say? Type of thing. Mm-hmm. And So I grew up in a culture, Jamaican culture, where you didn't have a voice, mm-hmm. you know, and it sounds terrible, but it's just the truth. We didn't mm-hmm. have a voice. You couldn't share how you felt about something.
Wow.
You could not express anger or emotion. The only thing you could express was, yes, mom, yes, dad, thank you wow. for everything you provided for us. Like, yeah. you know what I mean? But I look at my dad, and he grew up in that culture in that time where as a man, your one job is to provide. Mm. That's all you do. And if you can do that by the measurement of society at that time, you're a good man. If you can provide.
Yeah.
And, you know, so now I look back and I'm thinking like, man, like I didn't have a chance to really have open dialogue with my parents like that at a young age and, you know, what that did, or have emotions and thoughts. And the other thing about that, and I feel like I'm going off on a tangent.
No, this is good.
But the other thing I think about is like one of my deepest fears about raising kids is not establishing a household where they feel comfortable to come and talk to us.
Mm.
And I know, let's be honest, right? Every teenager, preteen, all that good stuff, they're going to come a time where they're like, they're done with parents. Like, hey, I'm adult now. I'm grown. I'm 13. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to do my own thing. I got my own friends, my own agenda, my own thoughts, feelings, all that good stuff. And mom and dad, you guys are just not cool. So whatever. Mm-hmm. I know that time is coming, right?
That's going to be hard to believe, bro, because we're dope.
That's what I'm saying. I've got tattoos. You got tattoos.
Let's go.
Like, Pierce, we're cool. We're fire, bro. Like, that's the criteria to be cool. But like, it throws me off because I'm like, well, how do we create an environment where they feel comfortable to come talk to you anyways, even though they have their friends, even though they have their inner circle or whatever? I want that relationship with my kids where, hey, dad, I'm thinking about sex. Like, can I come talk to you about that? I've never had the conversation with my dad. Mm-hmm. I'm 33. I've never had a conversation with my dad about sex. Like, I think in my mind, I feel like he thinks that the kids that we have just popped up. Like, we've never had a conversation about sex, ever.
Yeah.
And I don't want that. You know, I want my kids to come ask me, hey, dad, I'm thinking about anything, bro. Even if it's drugs, I don't care what it is. I want my kids to feel comfortable to come and say, hey, dad, hey, mom, can I talk to you about such and such? Keep an open mind. And, you know, and I think that what you kind of described about giving them an outlet to be able to share and express themselves.
Yeah.
I think it's starting to garner that type of environment and relationship where they're like, this is accustomed. Like, they're used to this. I come to dad about everything. I come to mom about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing that since I was three. Like, so when I'm 13 or 14, it's kind of hard to move away from that. Yeah. Like, this is just my norm, my default. I go to my parents and talk to them about whatever.
Absolutely. So, like, what do we crave the most? Like, I think we want to belong, to have a purpose. And I think, like, especially as kids, you want to feel safe. So when they're throwing fits, it's like, okay, they're definitely wilding out and like, yo, they definitely need to chill out. You know what I'm saying?
For
but
sure.
Like in that moment, it's like, okay, like you're not going to hit me. We're not, you know what I mean? You're not going to kick the wall or whatever, or throw your toys. But like, there's a safety, like, just even going back to what my wife does, but there's a safety where you can be safe and expressing your emotions in a controlled environment, like I'm saying, but there's a safety. And I think just surrounding that is like, okay, mom's giving me a safe place. You know what I'm saying? Dad's giving me a safe place to express it where at the moment, it isn't judgment. If you punch your pillow, it's your pillow. We don't care. But at least you feel safe in that moment. And then we're going to talk and it's going to be safe, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's something I struggle with, honestly, if we're going to get real, it's like, man, like when they're doing something, I think, and it could be the insecure part of my fatherhood. Like that's something like I'm growing in and I think trying to identify. And to be honest, I think I have grown in the last year. But it's like Machiavelli. It's like to be feared is better than to be loved.
Right. Right.
You know, but then there's like also like the Michael Scott version of like, you know, like, I want all my coworkers to love me.
Yeah.
But like, then there's like, I want to like lead as a father. And like, I mean, there's a ton of leadership things, but as a father and how I lead, I don't want it to be the Machiavelli way. Like, I don't want it like to be feared. And like, that's how my kids obey. And that's like the space. Cause I think with leading with fear, there's a cap, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, for sure.
There's a cap on that. I in my opinion, but with authentic love. And again, authentic love comes with real feedback, you know what I mean? With talking about real things, with them not always getting their way, not always being right. But I think to get authentic love, I think the kids, how they'll be raised and how we build them, they'll go far beyond of what I hope what they believe they can do, you know?
1,000%.
But I think that authentic love is the safety zone that we're kind of talking about, that they feel safe and secure in whatever emotion they're feeling.
Yeah, man. Like that whole ruling with the Iron Fist thing. I mean, again, I hate to keep going back there, but I do feel like it's very big in, I think, both of our cultures, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, there was no room for, you know, I don't want to say it like that, but there was no room for love. It was literally like, hey, look, do what I say, you know, whatever. And, you know, like looking back at my mom, especially because, like I said, she was the disciplinary one.
For sure.
There are things within her very strict disciplinary style that I did adopt for the good and for the bad.
For sure.
And, you know, one of the things that I do, and this is just my personal belief, like it's not a knock on you or anybody else that feels differently or however, I do raise my kids with some level of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I want that fear to be like, hey, mom and dad's always watching. Like, let me make sure I'm, even when they're not around, let me make sure I'm on my P's and Q's to do whatever. Or even growing up, if we're in a public setting or something like that, and I'm acting out, my mom would just shoot the look. You would just get that look like.
Oh, bro. Yeah.
And that was it. And that was literally the end of it. And I would shut it down instantly. Yeah. So I did like that fact that there was an understanding.
Oh, yeah.
I hate that it came out of fear, but there was an understanding. So I definitely, for me, I do raise my kids with that level of fear of like, hey, look, dad knows all and sees all type of vibe. But the part that I've been actively working on since I've had my kids was like, do that. But I do also believe in being able to be friends with your kids. And I know that like that's a thing that's frowned upon. Like, yo, you can't be your kid's friend or whatever. And I'm like, well, their friends are the ones that they go and talk to about their most intimate private stuff.
For sure.
And they never come to you about that.
For sure.
So while I do agree that there needs to be boundaries set about the difference between when I'm in parent mode versus when I'm in friend mode, I don't want to negate the fact that like a friendship is what we're doing right now. We're having conversation. We're bridging the gap. We're talking about differences. We're talking about viewpoints.
Yeah.
I have to show my kids that one, I'm open to hearing from you and where you're coming from. Otherwise, if we do this from a young age, they grow up thinking, mom and dad don't care what I have to say anyways.
For sure, bro.
Why tell them about this thing that I'm thinking about doing?
Exactly.
So.
No, I think, I don't want to say like the look, bro, my kids get the look. Like we're in public, hey, you know
down.
What I mean?
Shut
so yeah, I don't want to say like, man, like there's not a respect level. Like there's goalposts. Like what, like Eel's like, this is what we're doing. Like if we're in public, you're not going crazy in a restaurant.
Yeah.
And if you are, you're getting the look. You know what I mean? I think there's just a respect level. So I want to make sure like that's clear. I'm not saying
no,
like,
no, you're good,
I'm
bro.
Not just saying, hey, kids, go do whatever you want. No, yeah, that's not how that's working. You know what I mean? But the authentic love comes with that of like, no, you are going to respect mom and dad. So I want to make sure that the listeners, everyone who's listening, it's not like a free for all or it's their kids that like have permission to walk. No. But I think with the authentic love comes, no, like you're going to respect me. You know what I mean? And when it's your time to be respected, I'm going to respect you back too.
For sure.
And you're going to feel what that feels like. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
But yeah, yeah.
And I also
I respect, but yeah.
I was about to say, sure I also want to clarify too. Like I, by no means of the imagination, I'm thinking like Drew's letting his kids run crazy out there. Like I know you're not. Bro.
But I like the look because I'm thinking of like, oh, my kids know my look.
Yeah, they know the look, bro.
Because my little one started doing it back to me. She goes like this. I'm like,
she just like, started okay, doing dad, it back I can do it too, dad. What's up?
Like, yeah, that's so funny, bro.
Nah, man.
No,
yeah,
that's good.
My
that's
oldest good. Man, he's the one that's like, I mean, they all push your buttons, right? They always try to like see how far they can go. But my oldest is at that age. He's six. So he's at that age now. He's trying to see how far we can move this line.
Oh, yes.
And so he does things intentionally that he knows he's not supposed to. And he will stare at me as he's doing it.
Got to set
and I'm sitting here thinking to myself, wow, the nerve of this guy. Like the nerve of this guy. Really?
Yes.
That's what we're going to do?
Yep.
All right, cool. At the end of the day, like, I just want you to understand, like, where your provisions come from at home, all right? These toys you're asking for, like, all that stuff, man. But, yeah, man, I do think there is a very healthy balance of, I am going to be your parent. That's our foundation, all right? But at the same time, I do want to create an environment where you feel safe and comfortable to come talk. And we share. We have a good time. Yeah. That's what friends do. We hang out, you know?
But it ain't all flowers and butterflies.
No,
that's for dang sure.
It's not, dude. It's not. And don't get it twisted. So
don't get it twisted.
Yeah, man. So, bro, I really appreciate you sharing that, man.
Like, yeah.
I think you gave me a real golden nugget. Or I guess your wife, I don't know. Gave me a real golden nugget about just
give
like.
Give it to my wife. Credit to the wife.
Hey, credit to the wife, man. You're a smart man, sir. You're a smart man, bro. So, yeah, man. So the other piece I want to touch on, just because we're talking culturally, right? What was affection like for you at home? And how has that shaped how you show your kids affection now?
That's good, bro.
Yeah. Again, that Caribbean, Korean lifestyle. I know
my
you're there.
My parents were actually white. Like, I was that. So I
adopted,
grew up in
the, right,
yeah,
right,
my,
right, right.
They're as white as can be, bro. I hope they watch that.
That's funny.
My parents were very good with words of encouragement.
Yeah, nice.
I think my parents made me believe I could do anything. I think, I don't know if you've done the Enneagram or whatever, like I'm a seven. Yeah.
You're a seven?
I'm a dreamer, like whatever.
Nice.
So like I changed what I wanted to do like weekly. I'm going to be a chef. All right, let's do it. You know what I mean?
They're down for
it. I'm going to be a skateboarder. That lasted longer. I'm going to be Michael Jordan. They should have told me that I'm going to be 5'8 and I'm Asian. Dang. Jeremy Lin was dope.
I was about to say, hold up, man.
Yeah,
Jeremy Lin. Yao, come on now.
Yeah, I mean, Yao, he was blessed with the hype. But,
yeah, he was.
But, man, they're all, they were just, that's how they showed me affection. And, bro, they just bought you, they just like giving you gifts. Like, they're like, and it didn't have to be extravagant, but they were just very thoughtful with giving.
Yeah.
And, dude, that is just in me, bro. Like,
good, man.
I want to encourage my kids. I think words is a big deal.
What's your love language, now that you mentioned that?
Love language, I used to think gifts was one.
Yeah.
But I actually think that I think it's words of it.
Like, encouragement for
words
you?
Of encouragement. I think as I've gotten old, I think like in my 20s, maybe like later teens, I felt like it was gifts because it just made me feel dope.
Yeah.
But I think as I gotten older, I think I've just appreciated words even more. I don't know if it can change, if that works like that, but
I think so.
I definitely feel like there's that has swapped. Words of encouragement is huge. But I think gifts is like, you know, if we take them to do ice cream or a special thing, that's all I'm talking about, like gifts or special things for them.
Yeah.
At the right moments has been, is how we show affection. I think we try to do, we just did one yesterday, daddy Sunday, daddy daughter's day, mom. I think just trying to get quality time with them, letting you know this is your special time. You get to set what we do.
Yeah.
Within reason. So it's like, yo, we're just going to the Boca Mall, playing on the playground.
Yeah.
Kai just wants to roll around and walk around the mall for some reason. And bro, had the time of his life. But I think those like time, gifts, words of encouragement, that's how we show our affection to our kids, me personally.
Nice. What do you think that they respond better to?
Ada is words. She definitely wants time. Mm. But I think if she knows she's doing a good job.
Interesting.
Because she's like such an achiever. We'll give compliments to like Kai. Good job, Kai. Hey, did I do a good job?
Oh,
you're like,
no.
All right, we're going to have to work on that. But I like where that's coming from. You know what I mean? But hers, I would say hers is words. I wonder if my wife would agree with that. I think hers would be words. Kai is going to be time. He wants one-on-one time.
One-on-one time.
Bro, he's a different person. Like seeing him, bro, he's five. He still has this nasty, stinky blanket, bro. I've been trying to throw it in the trash for like a year. It's disgusting. He's attached to it. It's like, who is the dude on like Snoopy? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah. I was about to say.
I don't know the dude. But it's like that type
got
of
the same blanket that
bro,
he's had.
It's disgusting. And he's like, Dad, I love you more than my blanket. That's what he told me yesterday at the mall. I'm like,
you know what that means?
I'm like,
that means a lot.
That's some big love.
That
he literally
lot,
told
man.
Me on the drive home from Boca Mall. I was like, yo, thanks, Kai. Zara, hers is touch. All three of them are different. She just wants to cuddle. We've never had a more cuddly baby.
Really?
Kai don't want to cuddle. Ada likes hugs, but like it's more to like affirm her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Zara, the little three-year-old, hers is like, bro, she just will like, with the kids, with my wife, she just needs to be touching
yeah,
you
yeah, yeah.
So how about you? Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, what's your wife's love language? I'm curious.
My wife's is words of affirmation.
Words of affirmation.
If she does the kitchen, like if she like goes out of her time and like deep cleans that junk, because bro, my wife's she's a beast. It's like she's a boss lady. You know what I mean? Like
yeah,
what
yeah,
she
yeah.
does at work. But if she's coming home when she's dog tired after a hard day of work and leading teams, and like she puts in some effort just to make the house look nice. You know what I mean? Without
yeah.
even asking me to be part. Like she wants that word. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
You know, if she did something that was outstanding, like she, you know, if she's speaking in front of a group or something like that, she wants to hear that.
Or be acknowledged.
She wants to be acknowledged.
I
don't blame her.
No. I mean,
she's
you,
awesome.
You put the work in, might as well, right?
Absolutely.
I asked only because I'm thinking about like your three kids and how like they all have different love languages.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to see who took after mom, who took
yeah.
after dad. I think in our house, my oldest, Amari, he's six. I'm not quite sure where he lands in terms of his love mm-hmm. language just as yet. If I had to pick one today, though, I would probably say it's physical touch.
Wow. Yeah.
Because he's pretty sensitive. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know any other six-year-olds that I spend this much time with.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I've seen with him, he's very more about the touch.
Yeah.
Like, Daddy, can I have a hug?
That's awesome, bro.
You know, like, or like I'm sitting at home and he's just underneath me the whole time. And I'm just like, and it's weird because my love language is physical touch.
Oh, for real? It is. That's like, so sick.
And so it's like, it's just funny when the kid is like outdoing you and it's like, bro, this is enough. Like, can we just, can we back up? And then I feel bad for my wife because I'm like, man, am I like this? Like, am I all over you like this? But yeah, I think I think he's exactly like me where my number one and two in terms of love language is physical touch and then words of affirmation.
That's cool.
And I think with him, outside of him like cuddling up underneath me or his mom or whatever the case may be, he does this thing where like I punished him before. Sometimes I get spankings like on the hands and stuff like that or whatever. But like I've been actively trying to move away from that. And because I wanted him to understand I want to be able to punish him with words. Not in the sense of like, we're verbally abusing him, but it's look, I want you to understand how hurt I am by what you
did. For sure.
And being so real. Being real and showcasing that. Yeah. So I tried it one time about a year ago. I remember this, man. It broke his heart. It broke his heart, man. I forgot what he did. He did something. He got in trouble at school or something like that. And at this point in time, we've already talked maybe 4 days in a row about, hey, not doing this certain behavior at school. He likes to play when he's at school and not pay attention to the teacher or listen to instructions. And then he misses it. And then he ends up not doing the assignment right or whatever. So this is about day four now in a row of dealing with this. So he comes home from school. I look him right in the eye and I'm just like, dude, I'm disappointed.
Wow. Yeah.
And he literally burst out crying. I felt bad in the moment, but it was one of those things. I was like, look, man, like I got to do what I got to do because I feel like going back to what you said earlier, I'd rather be hard on you now in this regard than try to fix that behavior later on.
We're going to build that. We're going to build that character.
1,000%. Absolutely. And it sometimes is going to come to my own detriment of, I don't want to do these things to you. I don't want you to feel bad. I don't want to be the cause of your pain or whatever. Like, I love you. You're my son. Like, you're my firstborn at that. But I also recognize my duty, my responsibility as a father and as a parent to make sure that you're going down the right path.
Yes.
So I was like, you know what? Let's try this. I'm going to be honest with him. And I told him, dude, I'm disappointed in you. Like, we've spoke about this thing multiple times and you're still not listening. That's not like you. And honestly, I think you can do better. And because you're not doing better, I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
This is a 5-year-old at that time. And man, I will never forget that day. He cried, he cried, he cried. And it was just like a revelation for me at that moment that one, it could be a love language thing, but two, it's also his age, right? They hang on our every word.
Oh, for sure.
And I realized, have you ever watched Ted Lasso?
Oh, yeah, dude.
All right, dude. There was a scene where Roy is, you know how he has that relationship with his niece or whatever the case may be?
Yeah.
There was a day where he was getting frustrated because like she's just always there. She's always around.
And he's like grunting.
He's like, yeah, he's like, he's mad about it. He's grunting. He's doing the usual thing, right? And I think his girlfriend that he was dating at the time said something to him along the lines of like, dude, she just wants to be a part of your world.
Wow.
She doesn't care if you're going to the podiatrist to get your foot checked out. She doesn't care. She just wants to be a part of your world. And dude, I mean, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was thinking like, damn, like, is that how our kids feel? Like, they don't care what it is we're doing. They just want to be a part of it. So like, I say all that to say that like everything that we take for granted that we say to them or do to them or for them or for whatever, it holds a lot more weight than we realize. And I think it's super important to going back to like encouraging our kids and creating a safe environment for them to speak and all that to showcase to them, hey, look, like, look, you are a part of my world. You are a priority. You are somebody that I care deeply about and want the best for, even though it doesn't always look like that in your eyes. You know what I'm saying?
That's like, really good, man. That's really good.
Yeah, man. So it's, bro, and I feel like every episode so far we've talked about like TV dads, and there's just so much to learn from them, man.
Yeah,
like,
man.
They're the perfect person. They're imperfect, but they're the perfect person. Like, I've never met a dad like the Uncle Phil's or Carl Winslow's or the Danny Tanners or even the Roy. I think there's a part of him that would be a great dad.
Yeah.
But yeah, they showcase that relationship and it shows like, yo, I'm more than just a dad. I'm more than just a parent. Like, I'm a human being and I genuinely care for you as a human being.
That's cool.
So yeah, let's talk about it. Let's talk through it. Let's share. Let's speak. And I think the kids want that more than anything else, man.
Absolutely. I do too, man. I think that's just being present with them in their moment, you know, coming to their level.
Yeah, yeah. Bro, have you ever done that? Have you ever had to come down to their level and apologize? Have you been there yet?
Gosh, bro. Yes.
Dude. Yeah.
There's that's nothing tough. More humbling than that.
Bro.
Nothing more humbling than
yeah.
that.
Yeah. As an adult having to admit to a six-year-old that you were wrong.
Yes.
It's tough, but you were talking about building characters for the kids.
Bro.
That was character building for me.
Absolutely.
It was humility, having to work on humility, having to work on putting pride to the side, to be able to say that I was wrong. And then make it worse when it's somebody that you view that's not on your level.
Yeah.
And they're down here and like, now I have to tell them that they were right and I was wrong.
Yes.
It was tough. But I think that the few times that I had to have done that, it helped shape our relationship where it yeah. is now. Where now my son knows that he'll correct me on some things.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, how come you did X, Y, Z when you told me mm-hmm. not to do, or you told mommy not to do X, Y, and you did it anyways? I'm like, shut up. But it's yeah. like, but he hits me in those moments and I'm just like, you know what? You're right.
You're right.
I shouldn't have did that. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry or whatever it may be and own up to it. And that's the other thing. I feel like there's always these little things that we've been bringing up, man. But that's the other thing. One of the things that I did not get growing up was learning to take accountability for my own actions and whatnot. And dude, I'm fighting to teach my oldest that right now. Like, look, I don't care if you messed up so bad that you think that you can't come back from it. Own up to it.
Mm-hmm.
It was your mistake. You knew you did what you weren't supposed to do. You knew that going into this. Own it and let's make amends. Let's figure out how we can fix this together. Dude. So,
man, that just talking about the accountability, humbling ourselves as dad.
Yeah.
Man, Obama has a great quote about being a father. He's like, man, just because you had a child doesn't make you a father.
Ooh. That hurt.
But it's you having the courage to raise that child that makes you a father.
Yeah.
And I like that quote a lot because
wow,
what stuck out to me was the word courage. And then I just thought about, like, what's that mean? Like, what's he mean by courage? You know, when Obama's just, why'd he say that? And I do think there's a courage of, like, overcoming self, like yeah. you're saying, and, like, yeah. coming down to the level. Because one of my biggest weaknesses as a father is my patience. I am impatient.
Yeah, same.
And it comes out in impatience of like, come on, come on, come on, come on.
Yes,
or it comes out in frustration to them. And that's where I have to be like, I wasn't, you know, and then you're teaching them to be patient at the same time. And you're like, dad was not patient. And I hope that I'm doing, you know, at the right times. You know what I mean? I hope that I'm displaying, like you're saying, of like displaying, and asking for forgiveness on a normal level where this is not something that is so foreign to them.
Yeah.
Because, bro, like, they're doing, you know, they're being crazy as well.
Yeah.
Where I hope they're then saying, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? But like you're saying, build now, build now, yep, build yep. now. We might not see it now.
No,
we're probably
that's
not
okay.
gonna see it now.
That's okay.
But I hope in a few years, handful of years, 2 years, we're seeing those things come out. But yeah, nothing is more humbling. Nothing, I think, takes more courage to like of my pride to take hold of that.
Yeah.
To like say, dude, I was wrong.
I messed up.
I was impatient. Oh my gosh, bro.
Yeah,
but yeah, just to piggyback off of what you said.
Jeez. Dude, I'm in the same boat as you. Like yeah. the impatient thing is my biggest struggle. Especially in the morning getting ready for school.
Yo.
I'm like that. Ah, man, they grind my gears.
Why is school so early, bro?
I don't know, man. But here's my thing, right? And I'm a hypocrite for saying this. I'm gonna admit that right now. I'm a hypocrite for saying this. But yeah. I, like in my mind, I'm like, that's why you should have went to bed early.
Yo.
Don't get up now complaining about being tired. And I'm just mm-hmm. like, dude, come on. In elementary school, you were fighting to stay up an extra 2 hours when going to bed at the designated time still wasn't enough. And I'd wake up in the morning like tired and groggy yeah. and just like out of it. Mm-hmm. Or it was a fight to get out of bed or whatever. Mm-hmm. My mom had to splash water on my face multiple times just to get me out of bed.
Yeah.
But now it's like my kids don't, and they're kids, right? But my wife is also the same way, so I don't know. They don't have the sense of urgency that I have when it comes time to get out the house. It's like, hey, like... Come on, we got things yeah. to do. We got to get the ball rolling. You got to be here at a certain time.
Places to be.
You know traffic already. We're in South Florida. Come on, like yep. let's get it together. And that has been my biggest struggle is mm-hmm. being able to say, be patient and whatever. Bedtime is the worst because it's bedtime now, yeah. right? We've brushed our teeth. We've taken showers. Yep. Occasionally we'll read. We'll pray. Bedtime, let's go. Oh, daddy, let me tell you about my day. I'm like, wait, what?
Why you want to talk to me now?
Now. But what blows my mind about it is that when I picked you up from school or your mom picked you up from school and we asked the question, how was your day?
Yo.
And we asked, and you're giving me these generic answers like, good.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. So then I pry. We ask more questions. Mm-hmm. What was so good about it? Bro, I've been doing research about this. Like, there's certain.
Oh, for real?
Yes, because it's been annoying me. Because I'm like, dude, I need more from you. I don't need just good. Tell me what happened today. What did you learn? Give me more. I'm trying to build dialogue with you. Not wait till it's bedtime and now you want to tell me all about your day. Oh, Dad, today at 9:05, I'm like, no, dude, no. I don't want to talk about this now. You had the opportunity to. So I've been looking at like questions to ask that will spark their brain or like, I don't know, like give them more.
Yo, that's cool.
Yeah, like I was
so thinking, what kind of questions are you asking though?
One of the questions was like, what made you happy today at school?
Oh, so not so like yes, it's not,
no. Exactly. Oh, they can't answer yes or no or good or bad. It's got to be more thought-provoking answers in order for them to answer the question properly. So
that's good.
So I've been there's a series of questions. Like the number one I can remember is that, like, what made you happy today? Because I really thought about that and I was like, man, that's a good question. Like, to even ask an adult, like, what was one thing out of your day today that made you happy? So if usually my wife picks them up and I drop them off. So if I do happen to pick him up and I know she does it as well, the question will be like, hey, how was your day? Good. Okay, great. What was so good about it? He says, you know, well, today we did X, Y, Z. Awesome. How did that make you feel? And I think it serves two purposes. One, it's building dialogue between us, which is further building rapport, bonding, all that good stuff, right? But I think it also shows these kids how to be more in tune with their emotions and their feelings.
That's good, man.
Because as a guy who is actively in therapy right now.
Yo, come on.
And coming from a very Jamaican background that I keep on harping on, one of the things I've always struggled with is sharing my emotions, sharing my thoughts and my opinions about things, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so now I'm like, all right, well, dang, bro, like, how do we start at home? How do we change that? And this has been a great way to do that.
That's really cool.
Like you said, I won't know until another 15 years probably. But like, I think it's a great way to help them to be aligned with their thoughts.
Yeah.
Like as an adult, I've sat back and thought to myself, dang, why do I feel like this? Mm. And have no explanation for it. And it's something that happened 3 weeks ago.
That's cool.
But as these kids are growing up and you're teaching them, hey, dude, like take time, slow down and think about your day. What happened today? Oh man, now that I mentioned it, like that did make me feel kind of sad when Bobby ate my fish fillet sandwich or whatever. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, man. So like,
that's really cool. I'm gonna
mess with some different questions.
Yeah, I need to do some better questions for
sure. Yeah, bro. Like I'm taking that
nugget from today, bro.
No, for all day, bro. Like I'll send you a list after, man. But like I found a list and it's just about just opening up, helping them to open up more and to have better dialogue.
That's sick.
Yeah, man. But the nighttime routine has just been, it's been like me having patience with them has been tough, man.
Bro. It drives my wife nuts, bro. They'll just get out of bed and want to hang out. I'm like, what are you doing, bro? Like,
It's time. It's mommy daddy time. Like, and if nothing at all, it's me time. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Dude, I get up early every morning to take you guys to school, make your lunches, all that stuff, pack your bags, blase, blase. My wife picks you up from school, comes home, she has to cook dinner, she gets you guys bathed, like all that stuff. And I'm like, there's no time for like working on a relationship, for example. Mm-hmm. And that's been a huge point of contention in our relationship.
Yeah.
We don't have time. We don't do date nights like we used to. Mm-hmm. And I'm not like using this as to dissuade anybody from having kids, but you do have to be more intentional about finding time for those type of things. And the other thing was finding time for me, her finding time for her. And when the kids go to bed, for those 2 hours, if it's not mommy and daddy time, it's like, hey, look, she's going to read her book. I'm going to play some video games.
Yep.
I just need to unwind, decompress now to be the best version of me for you guys. I'm doing this for you.
Yep.
Like I'm saying, like they don't get that.
Bro, we did something. We've been pretty consistent. It's like, I think it's been coming once a month. I think we wanted to do bi-weekly.
Yeah.
We're basically giving the other or yourself a day. Or like the night where it's like your night. So, hey, I got the kids. You just don't come back to whenever you want. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's been like really good for us because, bro, like it is true. Like when they get out of bed and you're just trying to decompress even, you know, like just whatever. Nothing stresses you out more.
Even more than that.
Frustrates you more than that.
Yeah.
We're like, yo, this is my time.
Yeah, you're infringing on it. But bro, I think we're on the same wavelength, man.
I know, bro.
My wife and I literally started doing that 2 months ago.
Yes. It's good.
It's great. It's less for me. I'm not gonna lie to you. I need to be more intentional about
it. Cash in, man.
I do need to. And you know, my wife is really good, bro. I don't have like, bro, as much as she complains about it, she has no problem like saying, hey, look, I know what you got to go do what you got to do. I'll stay home with the kids and you do whatever.
Wow.
So I don't try to find time for me when it comes to that. But for her, I'm like, hey, look, 2 nights this week. Just pick any 2 you want. I'll put it on my calendar. I'll make sure it's blocked off. I make sure I don't schedule anything. I make sure I'm home early enough day. I'll come home earlier than usual that day.
Yeah.
That like, even if I can, I'll go pick up the kids. And that way you can avoid that.
That's really tight.
But if not that, and you still pick them up, when you come home, drop them off to me. You do whatever you got to do. go soak in the bath, if you want to go do your nails, mm-hmm. if you want to go take a nap. I'm okay with whatever you need to go do at this point.
Bro, that's king status for you right there.
Bro, it's been a struggle. Awesome. It's been a struggle.
But I like that. That's real, though. That's real.
Yeah, and it's crazy because, like, she's not the type that is, like, because it was my idea, she's not really, like, hammering it home
right.
to make sure I stay on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I think that's been a test for me to make sure that I'm intentional stay about keeping consistent. It up anyways.
Yeah, that's good.
But, because I'm like, I want her to understand, like, hey, look, this, no, you need your time too.
Mm-hmm.
I have more time because I work in an office by myself all day, so mm-hmm. fine, whatever. But there are times where I know you don't have that luxury, and she's an introvert by nature.
Yeah.
So when she comes home from work and having to deal with people, she's tired. She's exhausted. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, yeah, just give me the kiddos. You do whatever you got to do. Go hang out with your friends.
That's really sick.
Yeah, man.
That's crazy. We're both kind of doing that, man.
Bro, I'm telling you, it's going to be beneficial for everybody.
Yes.
Because now your kids will also get the best version of you that, mm-hmm. Not the best version, but at least a version of you that's not tired and stressed
right.
from things that have nothing to do with them. And like, so when they come home and they're on 10 and, you know, acting crazy or whatever, it's like the straw that breaks the camel's back at that
yep.
point. It's like, my frustration isn't with you guys, but unfortunately, you guys are catching the brunt of it because right. I'm home finally helping to relax, and then
right.
here you are
absolutely.
Being kids.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things, man, that I think is super beneficial and needed for both of you and
yeah.
the kids.
Because it just makes you hope to get your be your best version. Just
yeah,
getting
man.
That break time. Hey, wife, you go do your thing.
And that's
so
it.
Smart.
Bro, I'm going to wrap up here, right?
Yeah.
I got to ask you this question.
Okay.
I think this is going to be the... like a tradition thing that we do every episode.
I love it.
I want to end every episode on a good note, right? And
okay.
I think this whole thing has been a good note.
Absolutely.
We've had episodes that have been very like hard and deep
yeah.
and like crying type
That's
vibe.
Cool.
And
That's
all
real.
That. Mm-hmm. So, but I always want to end here. All right. What is the most like enjoyable thing about fatherhood for you? What would make you go back and have another child? Let's put it that way. What would make you go back and have another child if you could? Guarantee that you'd get this thing all the time, or this happens all the time, or you can experience this thing all the time.
Hmm.
I feel like you're going to use my answer too.
I think we're in the creative field. This could be cheesy as all get out.
All right, go for it, man.
I think, not to make a long story, I had a gig last year and, My boy was in pre-K 3. He had Donuts with Daddy Day, and it fell on that day.
Oh, no.
Bro, I was stressing out.
Yeah.
Luckily, it was with a really good homie. Everything worked out. But that day, I was like, I'm never going to miss that stuff again.
Yeah.
And I know as creatives, as filmmakers, entrepreneurs, whatever, portfolios mean a lot. And as cheesy as this sounds, it's like, man, my biggest concern right now is like I'm building that memory portfolio with my kids. So if you're asking me like what's the most special thing or to me, it's like, man, I'm just trying to soak in every memory with every kid. My
yeah.
my oldest, she had cancer at like one, right? Like Ada did. And as hard as that was with me and my wife, we lived out the hospital for like 7 months and it was crazy. And it beat us up for 2 years after that. There's so many special moments I look back of us being at Joe DiMaggio with Ada when she's going through chemo that I would never change for the world. And same with Kai right now,
yeah.
even with the Super Mario thing or him being proud of something with Zara, you know what I mean? She's just the goofiest kid, you know, but her just coming up and give you kisses or doing funny things. But I think I hope I'm answering the question properly. I'm sorry. What was?
Honestly, it's. I think you answered it, man. It's really. What's the thing that you love most about being a dad, man?
Yeah, I think it's just making memories with my kids. I think it's just getting quality time and trying not to miss a moment.
Yeah,
I think it's a goal, but it's also my favorite thing. It could be going on trips with them.
Yeah,
it could be just seeing them with our friends. Like the kids are going to birthday parties, seeing them making friends. It's like the most basic thing, you know? Like I don't need them to win trophies in sports. I hope they do.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I
yeah.
mean? I hope they reach whatever potential they're trying to later on or right now. But I think right now the thing I treasure most and the thing that has the highest currency right now is just making memories with them. So I think that's going on daddy-daughter dates. With my kids and what I was kind of talking about before.
Bro, man, like,
How about you? Was it the same or was
no,
it different?
No, no, it was totally different. But it's all right. Okay, that's all okay. Good. That's all good, man. The thing that makes me most proud, I would say, about being a dad, or just like, it just, I don't know, man. However you want to look at it, right? Having a long, hard day at work, or you know, like today was actually a pretty challenging day mentally, right? And then knowing that when I go home and I open that door, and these two little boys are running up to me, screaming "Daddy," and giving me the biggest hug in the world, like
that's cool.
It's a game changer.
Yeah,
and it melts away all those thoughts I have of like, man, this is hard, or man, I had kids too really early, good. Or whatever. Like all the negatives, quote unquote. I don't like to call them negatives, but all the difficulties in having kids and raising kids, all that like completely disappears in that moment right there.
Mm.
And if I could bottle that and like keep that in my back pocket for like rainy days,
man,
I would in a heartbeat. I would in a heartbeat, man. Like that's the greatest part of coming home to those kids and their excitement of joy of you, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's like a more of a personal issue that I have to work through, like why I crave that so much. I don't know, but I don't know, man. It's just something about these guys who have like this sincere, genuine love for you and just love you.
That's cool.
And they express that in that way. Yeah, man. I'm a winner, bro. Like that's it.
Could I ask you another, not to ask, like re-ask with a question, but I'm like, man, okay. I was thinking like, as you're speaking and hearing that, there's nothing better when they tell you they love you or they're thankful for something without, because normally you tell daddy you love, you know what I mean? But like when they say that, there's no better feeling. In the moment where you're kind of talking though, I was thinking about like what like makes me proud of being a dad that I've been working on. Can I ask that back to you? Like what have you been working on as a father that makes you proud to be a father? You go and maybe I'll answer after that.
So is the question that like something that I'm actively working on it?
Yeah. Yeah. Like you don't have to be perfect. We're never going to be perfect. Right. It has nothing to do with like being at the finish line, but it's like, bro, you've seen growth and you're proud of yourself of being, of growing this in your fatherhood.
I think because of my upbringing with, you know, bro, I hate to beat a dead horse with a stick, right? But the whole Yeah, I feel like I've mentioned it so many times, but just like not having a voice growing up because you're a child, you're to be seen, not heard, that whole thing. I think the thing that I'm most proud about that I've been actively working on since day one is giving the kids a space to speak and
that's cool.
And say whatever. Yeah. And you know, it took a while to be okay with that because part of it was like, hey, you got to be okay with whatever they say if you're asking that, right?
Yeah.
And they've said, like, my oldest has said some off-the-wall stuff and, you know, whatever. But, like, I think I'm most proud about that. Oh, man, I just thought about another one. I'm most proud about that.
Go for it, yeah.
I'm most proud about giving them a space and opportunity to speak and to be themselves and to express themselves, good or bad, because I didn't have that growing up.
Yeah.
The other thing I'm also really, really proud about is just seeing them grow up.
Wow.
And I mean that in the sense of like, as much as I want them to stay small and little for the rest of their lives and they can stay here with me and love me and be the way they're supposed to be. It's not about that. It's like, I love seeing their growth and when things change, when their development. Let me say that. My son, my 6-year-old, Amari said something to me just last week and it was like, I didn't know how to respond. I was laying on the couch and I had just put Amir down to sleep, right? He's taking his nap. Thank God for naps. He's taking his nap and my oldest is down there with me. He's on his iPad and I'm sleeping on the couch. Like I'm laying down there and I'm like half asleep. And he comes up to me. He's 6, mind you. He comes up to me and he says, "Daddy, are you okay?" And I was like, "I'm fine. I'm just a little bit tired." And he goes, "Yeah, raising kids can be exhausting." I'm like, "Wait, what?" First of all, how do you know that?
That's so funny.
How do you know that? Do you know that you're exhausting? Do you know that? Like, are you owning that?
That's like a mature thought. Too,
it's such a mature thought. And I'm sitting here like flabbergasted, like perplexed. I'm like,
yeah.
And he was like, yeah, because we have a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dude, I love you so much, man. Like, I can't express to you just how awesome it is to see that growth, man. Like, the last one I'll share, I remember we were in the car driving up to Orlando for his birthday for Legoland. Mm-hmm. So we're all in the car. This is like 6 months ago, whatever it was. We're all in the car, me, my wife, my mom, my mother-in-law, and both kids. Oh, and my wife's best friend was there too. And my son, Amari, the 6-year-old, asked my mother-in-law, what does the word free mean? So she's trying to explain it to him. She's like, you know, something that doesn't come at a cost. Like, you can get it without having to do anything for it, or blase, blase.
Yeah.
And she follows up by saying, hey, at the same time, nothing in this life is free. Hmm. Everything comes with a cost. And his super mature response was, well, then what's the point of the word? And I was just like, touche.
Yo, like, literally touche, like, touche, bro.
I didn't know what to say to him. And I was like, I'm so glad he didn't ask me that question, because I would have no idea how to answer that.
He's a deep thinker.
He is, man. Like,
that's awesome.
So, like, I think that's the thing. Those are the things that make me super proud, is them coming home to that, you know, happy, you know, hey, whatever. Being able to have the, give them a space where they can express themselves and speak. And then watching them grow up, develop and into, like, human beings, and seeing how quick they're catching on to things. It's scary, but it's really a proud moment too, man.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I love that, bro.
What about you, man? What's like that proud thing?
Man, I think I've been working on just trying to be present.
Yeah.
It's hard to be present. I mean, it's easy to be on your phone. I think I've been trying. I mean, you know, like, run our own businesses and stuff like that. It's, you're trying to take every opportunity, but I think it's like taking the right opportunities that don't hurt my family at the moment, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
while still trying to grow both, if that makes sense, making them a priority within that. But I think present in the time, in the moment, because they realize it, bro.
Yeah, they know.
One of the teachers asked Ada, my oldest, to draw a picture relating to patience. And
like being patient?
Being patient.
Okay.
And she drew me on my computer, basically editing, and her trying to play Pokemon with me. So she being patient. So
really,
I was like, we put it on the fridge because, like, dang, bro, she just put me on blast.
She sure did. She sure did.
And I need to be more present. And I'm not gonna forget that image of her and her squiggly lines. But I'm proud of them for taking risks outside their comfort zone.
Good, man.
She played hockey for a little bit. I love ice hockey. I love playing ice hockey. She went, did try out. She was nervous. She cried when she went out there. But love them. I always want them to try stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to do it again. If we did a commitment, you made an 8-week commitment, a 1-week commitment, a one-time commitment, whatever it is, I just want to see you
follow through. Yeah, yeah.
That makes me very proud of them.
For sure.
You ain't have to do it ever again if you don't want to. And I mean, she ended up loving it. You know what I mean? But it makes me proud of them to see them at least try things and take a risk.
Yeah, yeah, that's a big deal, man. That's a big deal. Exposing them to different opportunities and giving them a chance to whatever. See what sticks.
Stay curious, man.
Bro, Drew, man, I'm so grateful, bro, that you were able to come out here today, man.
Dude, you're the man. Thanks for having me.
Nah, man. Dude, look, I told you, from the moment we met, I knew that this was going to be one of those relationships. I'm like, this is such a good guy. Like, I just... Yeah, man, we got to hang out more type of thing. So
like, this is a great conversation. I just felt like we were just being boys, right?
Bro, that was it. That was it, man. That's literally the whole purpose of this, man. Like, despite the fancy camera and the great lighting, like, you know, I spent 3 hours setting up or whatever. Sir. Outside of all that, bro, like, you know, again, my hope and desire for this podcast is to have open dialogue, man.
That's
like,
cool.
Share your experiences, share your life experiences, share your wins, share your losses. And my hope and prayer is that someone can relate.
Absolutely,
like,
man.
Someone could be out there looking like, dang, like, I also struggle with patience with my kids.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'll be honest with you, and just a moment of transparency before we wrap, you sharing that level of, like, that thing that you're working on with your kids about being patient, that, for me, took a huge weight off my shoulder.
Come on.
Because I was thinking this entire time that I have a problem and it's just me. I'm a bad dad because of that.
Yeah.
And not now, no, you're a regular dad and a regular person who happens to struggle just like everybody else does. Mm-hmm. So to hear that someone else struggled with the exact same thing, like, we're right across the room from each other. We don't have to go anywhere else, bro. And I found that us being able to relate right here, right now.
Yeah.
That was huge for me, man. So,
man, I hope that's for your listeners and your viewers too.
You likewise, know what I mean?
They're
man.
Not alone. They're not alone.
Yeah, man. Drew, appreciate you so much, man. Your time.
Thanks, man.
God bless your family, bro. Your endeavors, everything you guys touched this year, bro. More growth, more time with the family. Mm-hmm. And this won't be the last, man. I'll see you again in season 2.
All right, bro. Let's do it.
Appreciate it, man.
All right, man. Thank you.
All right, bet. Bro, that's it, man.